Hello and welcome to The Follow-Up. This is the place where we explore questions you've submitted after Sunday's sermon. Maybe it's something that left you curious, confused, or inspired. We'll talk through it together. Ready? Let's get to The Follow-Up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Follow-Up. This is Pastor Crystal, and this is where we take some time to respond to your questions from Sunday's message. If you missed it, don't worry. You can always go back and listen to the sermon. It can be found on the same channel, or you can watch it on our YouTube channel. Today, we are diving into some of the questions that you sent in. I'm here with Pastor Sean.
Hello.
We've got some good ones this week.
I hope so. Yeah, our hope is that this is a way for you to engage a little more deeply, maybe with the message. Maybe as you were listening along, something struck you and you're like, man, I wonder more about that. And so we just thought we'd try something out, a little experiment, and maybe give a response. Can't guarantee we'll give an answer, but at least give an honest response of maybe how we've processed that or how the scriptures lead us to process that so that we can all learn to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. Not always easy, but possible. Through a spirit in us. So giving it a shot here.
Yeah. We might have some answers, but you might not always like them.
So should we just go? Like, what do we got? What's on the docket?
All right. First one. This is a good one. I feel like a lot of us can relate to this one. How do we love with that self-sacrificial agape kind of love without totally burning out?
Yeah, I think, great question, by the way. And like, how do we have boundaries? How do we, you know, so funny, maybe first thought is I spent a lot of years in student ministry. And one of the questions that we get asked in student ministry, usually, well, always in connection to sex and sexuality is the question is how far is too far, right? And our response, my response was always like, that's the wrong question. Like if we're asking, how much is too much? When it comes to, I think, interpreting the scripture and the life of Jesus, obviously like Jesus gives everything. And for some people, like, you know, the Christian history is full of martyrs, right? Who did give everything. So there was no like, how far is too far? For them, like it was whatever it takes. But I think the question around is like, how do I be a healthy me? And still be able to offer myself to the people around me. We've been saying for quite a while around here, like the best thing I have to offer people is my life with Christ. Yeah. And I think that is a life that is thriving. I think that's a life that is full of joy and energy. And even Jesus, you know, got away from the crowds from time to time. And so I think it's a balance of like giving and restoring. And, we've talked a little bit about like the rule of life type stuff. We haven't really kicked that out, in a big kind of push, but how do I order my life in such a way that I do have something to give when it's required? And so in some ways, I don't know that we can answer that like, you know, like, well, here's the line, right, of sacrifice. But it's how do I order my life in such a way that when the Spirit prompts me to give or prompts me to be generous with my time or whatever, that I have margin to do that in a way that is healthy. I think that's the example of Jesus. I don't know if you've
I think that, you know, we have a culture that's very big on, you know, self-care, taking care of self first. And while I think it's important, if we're not careful, we swing so far to that side of things that we don't look at what's around us and think, how can I serve other people? It's very easy to become self-absorbed. And then on the other side, you have, you know, many examples of people who burnt out because they didn't have margin. They didn't have any kind of rule of life or something that led them to have space to give. And so, yeah, it's not really a black and white, you know, here's what it looks like. But if you start with an order of your life and you create margin and you engage in practices that help you build that, then it becomes more of like, how much more can I give because I have this space or I have this margin in my life? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's just the reality of, as we get tired, like we're fragile bodies. And I don't think God means for us to just like wear ourselves out for whatever, you know, isn't right in front of us. And so I guess my response, bottom line with that to be is like, hey, if I have ordered my life around the spiritual practices and prayer, silence, and solitude, mm-hmm. scripture, then I will have the inner reserves that help me to give when I need to give. But then also I think the wisdom to know when I need to take a break. You know, again, examples of Jesus, right? When he disappears, right? When everybody's lined up at his house, right, to come and get healing, and Jesus is out in the mountainside praying. Like he pulled away even when the demands were high. And so I think there's that boundary that we can put in. And then the flip side of it is that, like, the scripture clearly says, like, to die to ourselves, right? Like, there is this sacrifice that sometimes I do give when I'm tired. Because, you know, as we talked about even on Sunday, the Galatians 2:20, you know, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, right? He says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, like, there is that reality of, yeah, like, we live in a culture that is very much self-focused, I would say maybe self-centered. Mm-hmm. And the call of Jesus is to die to self and to live by his Spirit. And that requires discipline and practices.
Yeah. So. We've said here too that the paradox of Christian freedom is surrender. Mm-hmm. And so when you surrender some of this stuff, like, you surrender your time, you surrender your whole life. And that looks hard. That looks hard to our culture. Like, it doesn't always make sense. But that's where we find that freedom.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can ask the how far is too far question. Yeah. I think it really is a matter of, I discipline my life in such a way that that I can respond in the way the Spirit leads me. In those times when I have to give more and I don't feel like I have anything to give, and the times when I do pull away, even when the demands are high, it's like, no, I need to I need to have that time where I can be with my Father, as Jesus would say, and make sure that I'm spending my energy in a way that he leads and directs me.
I think it takes wisdom, and it helps when you're in community with other people that are also asking these kinds of questions, to help process some of that. Kind of tied to that, another question was, what do you do when you feel like you've got nothing left to give, but love is still being asked of you?
Yeah, I think that's similar, to what we just said. Yeah, I don't know that I have a good response to that one so much, in that, if we're being Spirit led, then the Spirit equips us for the moment. And I think sometimes we don't know that until we step into it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, man, I am spent, but I feel prompted by the Spirit to step into that. And oftentimes we don't step into situations that are outside of ourselves. And then we wonder why we don't get the benefit of the Spirit in us. We have to step into those spaces where it's like, I don't really have anything to give here, but I feel like I need to step in it. And that's when the Spirit makes up the lack for us. And when Nehemiah, calls the Israelites back out to build the temple out of Babylon, right? And they're fighting off an enemy with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. We get the scripture that says the joy of the Lord is our strength in that moment. And that's that space of like, I don't know how I'm gonna be able to do this, but the Lord will make up the lack. Like, the Spirit will give me what I need to provide what I need in that space. And so I think sometimes, if love has compelled you to it, then God is faithful to give us what we need in that space. And we may not, it may not, be what we what we pictured it to be, or even if it's toward a person, it may not always be what that fully what that person needs. Because sometimes what that person needs is not simply your presence and your love, but they need to allow God to supply the lack in their own life. And I think sometimes, and this is kind of maybe sideways, but sometimes where we go wrong is we take on the responsibility of filling the God need in somebody else's life. And so when we do that, one, we can never measure up to that. And then they're always hungry. Right. And so then it's like this love that they desire is beyond what I can give. And I give it, you know, and we step into those spaces, but we also realize, hey, this person maybe needs, or this situation needs something that I can't, that only God can provide, and kind of filling that lack that they've got to get from God. And you can help point them to that, to them and to God, and help like maybe clear the pathway for them to move that direction and to experience a taste of God's love in your own life. But I think that's where we have to kind of discern, like, hey, like, yes, I'm called to love. I trust the Spirit to help me do that in that space, but also recognize that sometimes the situation is one in which this person needs something that only Jesus can provide for them. And so that's kind of where boundaries come in and some things like that.
You said something about how if the Spirit has led you to it, then he will provide for you. And it just reminded me just of like a personal example, when we were doing foster care. And there were many times when I felt like I had nothing left to give, but love was still being asked of us and asked of me. And it was very tangible, like real life in my home example of, I cannot do this on my own, but God called us to that space. And so we were equipped, and it didn't mean that I wasn't tired. It didn't mean that we weren't feeling at the end of our rope, but God was always faithful to supply what we needed. And then we had to trust him with the rest of it, and trust that, you know, it might be a really hard season. It might be an exhausting season, but if God called us to it and the Spirit led us to that space, that we would have all that we needed to do what he asked us to do.
Right.
But it doesn't always look great. It doesn't always feel great. It doesn't always feel like I can do this. And I think when we reach the end of ourselves is when we discover more of him.
I think that's great. And only when we reach the end of ourselves, do we begin to walk by faith. You know, and I think those, when we're willing to step into those spaces as the Spirit leads us, then God is faithful to show up and again, provide what we needed. And sometimes even like, you know, I think even in like your situation, I mean, you don't realize it till you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, we made it through. Yeah. Like, I have no idea how,
but we
did it, you know, and that realization that God sustained you in those spaces in different seasons of our lives.
That's a great question. We're going to shift gears just a little bit, still connected, but this one's about generosity. Okay. You talked about crazy generosity on Sunday. And this question was, with all the huge needs in the world, and then also wanting to be responsible for our families, how do we actually practice generosity without being irresponsible? Tension in that.
Yeah, totally. That reality that sometimes the ways of the kingdom may seem irresponsible to the kingdoms of this world, right?
Yeah.
Or to people who see the world differently. And so how do we manage those realities? I think one of the things that strikes me when I think about, you know, the first part of that question was with like all the needs, right, in the world. Well, you know, we were not designed to know all the needs of the world, right? But we live in a world where we literally know everything that is happening around the world. And I don't, personal opinion, I don't think we are wired to be able to process that. That is frankly a godlike stance where we feel like I can manage like all the needs of this world, and that's exhausting. And really only God can do that. And so my response to that, I think, is what does it mean for me to focus locally enough that I ignore all the things out there? But how do I practice generosity with those right around me that God has put into my life, and in a way that is sacrificial. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the ways that we personally set ourselves up for that is we practice tithing, giving. And so, like, for some people, hey, like, I give away 10% of my, my income every paycheck. That's like, why would you do that? Right. That feels crazy. And, you could put that in savings and, it's retirement and blah, blah, blah. But it is a way that we just, practice generosity on a regular, basis that just becomes a part of who we are, that then I think has repercussions in other areas of our lives. And so there's a fine balance between like being responsible, which we should, mm-hmm. Paul says, that if you, if you don't work, you don't eat, in some of the scriptures. But so there's a sense of, yeah, you should be responsible. Jesus, the parable of talents, all the things in the scriptures that talk about like, hey, God gives you stuff, to then use for his kingdom. And so there's a sense of responsibility that is applied to that. So yeah, we should take care of our families and manage our finances well. And like called to step into this space of God, I also trust you with that. And yeah. So I'm not managing my, financial house. I'm managing your, like, this is all resources you've given me.
Yeah.
And so I try to do that open-handed in a way that allows me to be responsive to how the Spirit moves, but also take care of what God has entrusted to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you said it at the beginning of your answer, but a lot of the things that we do as Jesus followers feel irresponsible to the rest of the world. It feels really irresponsible to make some of the decisions that we make. And when we surrender, it just looks weird. Mm. Sometimes it won't add up on paper, like the tithing example. If you're looking at your budget and you're looking at what's coming in and you think there's no way that I can actually give this. But if we believe that everything we have has already been given to us by God, mm-hmm. it's ours to steward, but it's mm-hmm. his, we surrender our control over that, trust that he's going to take care of us. And then we enter into the practice of generosity. I don't think that you will come across people that will say they regretted their generosity and trust and surrender in the Lord. And there's many stories of how God has provided faithfully for people. And we can say the same thing that, you can practice both things. You can practice being generous and trusting. Again, it's the whole listening to the Spirit leading you. You're not being irresponsible. You're trusting the Spirit and listening to the Spirit leading you to places where you might feel pinched. You might feel like, man, this is a huge risk, mm-hmm. but I am walking and pointing my feet towards Jesus, mm-hmm. trusting that he's leading us, and I'm going to be generous and believe that he's going to provide for us.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I try to do like in response to that is personally, how do I position myself to say yes to God?
Yeah.
And that influences decisions that I make, right? So, do it. And again, some of these feel far-fetched today in our world. And I hear that, but sometimes that means I drive an old car, so I don't have a car payment. That means I refuse to have credit card debt. Like, just decisions that we make that put us in a position to say yes to generosity.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, and this is kind of a hard thing to swallow, but we make decisions when we feel like it's out of necessity, but they hold us captive and it put us in a position where we can't say yes to generosity because we've made decisions that have put us in that position. And so I think if you're like, man, how do I begin to live in sacrificial generosity while also being responsible? I think you got to say, am I actually being responsible?
Right.
And if I'm living in debt or if I'm, have these payments, I know that's like hard, like truths, but we become slaves to those things. And so they prevent us from living generous with our finances.
Yeah.
And we still may be able to be, generous with our time and our, but at the same time, when we're enslaved to debt, our mental capacity and our emotional capacity, there's this thing that's kind of always weighing on you in the background. And so this idea that if I I'm responsible in the decisions I make. If I have a value, maybe that says, hey, I want to be able to say yes to Jesus and however he would compel me to be generous, then that would have to back the train up in terms of like, then what am I also saying yes to that maybe enable me or don't enable me to be generous down the road.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to think holistically about our lives and the decisions that we make. And am I truly allowing my faith in Jesus, my claim that Jesus is Lord, to actually influence the day-to-day decisions I maybe make with my financial house or with my responsibility towards my family or, you know, my work or any of those things. And so I think there's some real challenge and help that we can think about to set ourselves up for a life of generosity that we can begin to practice by the decisions we make for, you know, the ordinary stuff of our life that can add up over time.
Yeah. It's almost even with the first question about love and not burning out, and the same with generosity, it's like backing the train up and going, well, why am I burning out?
Yeah.
And looking at how I order my life. Well, why does this feel like this might be responsible? Right. Or why do I feel like I don't have margin? Back it up and then look at what's going on, you know, a few steps before that. And then you get a better picture maybe of what's really happening in your life.
Yeah, totally. I think that's just the piece of that you may not be able to be as generous, sacrificially generous today as you hope to be tomorrow, but it starts with the decisions you make today.
Yeah.
Right. And as you begin to put that into practice, you begin to move towards that. We're probably going to get close to wrapping this up, but I was reading in some of this preparation about generosity, and one commentator that I read said, biblical generosity is the practice of martyrdom. Mm. And so like, it is a way, this sacrificial generosity, that we die a little death, you know, that we go with a little less, or, you know, I share my time maybe a little more than I wanted to. And it's this practice of what it looks like to give myself away for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was an interesting quote, a challenging quote.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, leave you with that hefty one today. I think these are the kinds of questions that everyone wrestles with in different seasons. So I'm glad people are asking these questions. Yeah, thanks for walking through these with
us. Yeah, super fun. And is there kind of one of the things that I love to do when you know, probably the same for you, is when we're standing on a platform preaching a message, we always have that inner dialogue in the back of our minds about, hey, like, even I have a question about that.
Right.
I mean, I'm about to preach something that I'm still personally wrestling with and trying to understand what this looks like for me. I believe the truth of the scripture, and maybe my life doesn't fully reflect that yet.
Right.
And so I'm sure that's the same for y'all listening and for those sitting in the pews, you know, as you're processing that information in real time as well. We hope this is like maybe an opportunity for all of us to engage a little bit deeper and get to kick around a question or two from time to time.
Yeah. Thanks for sending the questions in, and keep them coming, because this is where the conversation really continues and gives us an opportunity to kind of dig in a little bit deeper together. So thanks again, and we'll catch you next time on The Follow-Up.
See y'all later.
That's a wrap for today. Stay curious, and we'll see you next week.